Hi, it's Scott McKinnon here. We're going to go live with Tough 27 winner, Brad Katona. Tried to get Brad on a little while. But yeah, he's coming on. I'm going to talk about all things Ultimate Fighter and see what's next with him. Just going to try and get him on now. Yeah, first off, I'm give three shout outs to Tasteless Tees. Go and check them out. Ultimate Fighting Outlet, use discount code MONSTARSMMA. And CBD Life UK, go and check them out and use discount code MONSTARS15.
Hey, what's
going on? Not much. How are you doing?
Not bad. Thank you for joining me.
Absolutely.
Finally got it done.
Yes, it's been a while.
Yeah, so how's things?
Nice, good. No complaints at all. Living in Ireland is still a crazy experience. It's been 10 months now. We're almost coming up to a year, which is just crazy to think about that I've been here. Almost, yeah. So much has happened since moving here. So, yeah, training's good. I just feel like I'm living the dream. Things are going quite well.
Yeah, and obviously you can tell slightly in your accent as well that you get a bit of an Irish thing going on in there.
That's what people are saying. But I don't know, man. I've always talked this way. I guess I'll be answering this question for the rest of my career. But man, this is how I've talked. Watch an interview from me. Leading up to, I guess, last September was my last fight outside of all the Ultimate Fighter stuff. So if you check out an interview of me from back then, I'm pretty sure I talk the exact same.
Yeah, and obviously when it's your own voice sort of thing, you don't really notice it.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always talked this way. So. I don't know. People around me don't think I've changed, but hey, we'll see. You know, I think it would take more than a year. Yeah. I think it would take a little bit longer, you know?
So how was being on top and everything for you? I know you're probably not sick of it, but you're getting used to talking to it a bit more now. And I presume after being so long from the show that it's sunk in a lot more now that you are the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, you know, it's one, I'm trying not to focus too much about what I've done. Of course, you want to appreciate what you have accomplished, but I'm not going to be, you know, I don't want that to be the hallmark of my career. You know, I want more than just winning the Ultimate Fighter. That's where my goals are at. It's for bigger things. It's for a world title. So that's where my goals are at. But looking back on the experience, man, it's been, it was insane. You're living in a mansion for one, you're on a reality TV show. So when you think about those two things, you're catered to, it's crazy. Now, also looking back on it, you see the good, and then you also realize how damn stressful the whole tournament was. It definitely wears on you. Like every day wears on you. But for me, I just tried to appreciate it. I was in Vegas in what would be the winter. So the winter in Canada is like minus 40 from where I'm from. So, you know, I'm able to have my coffee outside in the sun every morning, you know. Just little things like that, trying to appreciate everything, just kind of helped take away the stress of the tournament itself.
Yeah, and I suppose, like you said, going from like the promotions that you're on before, not saying they were small or anything like that, but having the worries of training for a fight, all your preparation, your diet plans, actually getting your training and stuff done, to having that all taken care of for you, and basically living the dream in a mansion, getting eat for free, training for free, getting to sleep comfortable in a nice mansion in Vegas for a couple of weeks. It can't look bad.
Now that's one thing. That's one thing where, you know, they spared almost no expense in many parts. Like, the house was ridiculous. The yard is huge. There's a hot tub. There's a waterfall. Like, everything's beautiful. But the beds kind of sucked. the pillows weren't the best.
Well, we see John Gunther taking it into his own hands and sleeping on the floor.
It's not like I'm some sort of diva and I demand like the highest. I don't know. I don't have a mattress sponsorship or anything, but like I don't need, you know, whatever name brand mattress. You know, I just needed something better, slightly better than what we had. You know, but you make do. You know, everyone's in the same boat. Everyone's in the same house, dealing with similar stresses. It's just how you're able to manage them. And to me, it was just trying to appreciate how just strange that experience was and how unique it is and just trying to appreciating it.
Yeah. So out of the whole experience, would you do it again if it was offered?
You know, I'd want it for, depends on what the prize was. You know what I mean? Like, So I don't want to be like, okay, oh, if my career went poorly and I need to do the Ultimate Fighter to get back into the UFC, well, of course I'd do it again. Hopefully at that point, if I'm going into it, it's because my career is taking off and it's a unique opportunity coming at the end of it. It's a challenge and definitely doing it once, it would... I that's actually interesting. I don't know if it would be beneficial already experiencing it, or because it was so unique the first time that I really enjoyed all of it. I guess there's advantages with both. But definitely having done it, you know, I know some things I'd do slightly differently just to, you know, make it a little bit easier. But for the most part, just enjoying the journey was what I found was the best way of doing it.
Is it a tick off the bucket list for you?
Absolutely. You know, I've been watching The Ultimate Fighter since the very beginning. So it's something that I always thought I'd have to go through to get into the UFC. It's always a trophy I imagined winning. It's just crazy that it all actually materialized and here we are.
And I suppose, obviously, it's a bit different for all you guys, really, and especially you for winning, because obviously all you guys that went in there were undefeated. So you've earned your right more to be there than what, say, previous seasons did. Previous seasons, they could have been just exciting fighters that they thought were going to put on a show or they're going to be interested in the house. Whereas all of the guys that were in this one, you've earned the shot from your record and from your performances.
Absolutely. You know, knowing that it would be the undefeated season, it was a nice little, I don't know, gimmick or twist or whatever you want to call it. And it was a way for me to get in there. You know, normally the casting for The Ultimate Fighter is quite large. This was, I think, a little bit smaller just because of, you know, you could be 11-1. Yeah. You're not allowed. But with that being said, you know, some guys who have one or two losses on the record, they're better than some undefeated fighters. They're guys who pushed themselves, took some risks, you know, and even if they didn't get the result they wanted for, that's a much more intimidating opponent as opposed to someone who's been kind of fed fights their entire career, you know. So those, one, we've being undefeated, which is being an absolute killer and fighting really top guys and getting through them, but then, you know, having a loss or two on your record isn't the end of the world.
And obviously,
I'm undefeated now, but you can't obsess about, you know, remaining undefeated.
Yeah, and I've spoke to a lot of guys who have gone on ridiculous runs. I spoke to one that was, I think it was, they went on a 12-fight winning streak before they had their first loss. And I always say to them, do you learn more from a loss than what you do from a win? Not saying that, obviously, if you stay undefeated, that you're not learning the full game, obviously, because you constantly learn. But you learn more about yourself and how to adapt to the fight game slightly a bit more and other stuff in the fight game, involved in it, if you do get that loss.
Yeah. With that being said, I have lost. I've lost plenty. You know, I lost in amateur boxing. I've lost in, you know, grappling tournaments when, you know, in the gold medal match, you know, when everything's kind of on the line. I know how to lose. I know that I don't like losing. You know, most people don't enjoy losing. But also, I think no matter what the result is, you should be able to mine it for every ounce of worth, you know, like every nugget of gold you can find in there, you know, from a good performance. You can look at what you did well, also areas that you could have done better. For example, when I fought Bryce Mitchell, going over the tape afterwards, so there's a lot of little holes that that fight might have exposed that I was able to plug. You know, I was able to fix them going into my finale fight that, you know, without being challenged like that, even it was the best case scenario. It was a difficult fight where, you know, I was able to improve a lot from it, but also get the result I obviously wanted. So that was kind of the best of both worlds. But any performance, you should be able to mine it for something. You know, there's always something you can take away.
So is it better for you, obviously, getting to the finale and then sort of going home and training with your own training partners and stuff like that before the finale?
Yeah, you know, so it, just the way how timing worked, that was my first training camp with SBG here in Ireland. So I'd moved here in November, and then, you know, the chance for the show came up. I went down to the tryouts in December, got on the show in January, and then so much had happened in that short amount of time, and I finished the filming of the show, and then it's prepping for the finale. It's the first time that I'm in fight camp with this new team. And it's the also the first time in my life that I've had a real professional training program. We trained for about 12 weeks, you know, set a camp. It was, you know, we took everything to the highest level it's ever been. I worked with Lockhart and Ethan, getting my nutrition the best it's ever been. I worked with the Conor McGregor Fast Program to get my conditioning the best it's ever been. Obviously, working with John Kavanagh and all the training partners at SBG, the best training and coaching I've ever had. So, you know, if there was a box of best ever, it was checked all the way down. So,
so it was good fight prep, having that gap and being able to go.
It was beautiful. I knew exactly the date I was going to fight, pretty well the exact opponent who I was going to have, and almost down to the minute, you know, you're going to be fighting. You know, it's like I knew, okay, I'm probably going to be third from the top, and, you know, that's fights are going to start when they normally start, so I will be on at around 8 o'clock, you know. So having over 12 weeks to prepare for a single date, a single time, single opponent. And even my opponent, it was one where it was just a matter of me performing to almost any opponents, just performing to the best ability that you can. You know, I think I'm one of those fighters who can adapt to whatever challenges they give. So, it was just about being the best me possible and not preparing for, you know, Jay Cuccinone, because at any moment it could be Tyler Diamond or it could be Bryce Mitchell again. It could be any one of those guys if something happened. So it was just about being the best me possible. And it was definitely the best me that I've ever been, which showed up on in the finale.
Yeah, and obviously with going back and being to where, like you said, it was your first training camp. So in a sense, that could have been a good thing and a bad thing, obviously, because you hadn't had a camp there. So it could have went wrong. In a sense, obviously you've got the trust and everything in with the guys at SBG, but if that's not what you're used to back in Canada, and they do things slightly different, you could have reacted different to how they do stuff, or they could have reacted different to how you do stuff. But then obviously, like you said, it was like the perfect camp. You took all the advice you were given, you went on the perfect nutrition and everything like that. That was one of the things that was actually said to me when I obviously published that I was having an interview with you, that someone said that you do the Conor McGregor fasting.
Yeah, man, my conditioning, it isn't even so much a plug for them, you know, it's just the truth. My conditioning for that fight was the best it's ever been. I was entering the third round like I normally do entering the second round. It was only, you know, all of a sudden it was the third round. It's like, okay, now I'm starting to fatigue and I have five more minutes. That's it. You know, it was definitely next level for sure. And that just goes into the team I had behind me. You know, for once in my life, I was actually a professional athlete. You know, it's easy enough to turn pro in MMA and have a couple, you know, wins and you think you're a pro, but this was the first time everything around me was at the highest level. You know, it was a championship camp I put in, and it all came together, and it was also just, it was the perfect experience to have, being newer to the team. And it's an accomplishment John Kavanaugh wanted, so we were able to tick that box too. So you know what, it's just it's all the confirmation you need that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, especially if you're training at a camp like that, and with the guys like that. Just so you know, Joe Gianetti's just popped in. He's watching.
What's up, Joe?
And I've got a question from Ricky Steele as well, obviously, who was injured on the show, who couldn't compete. He said, you should ask Brad about me. Undeniably, I was and should have been his biggest competitor in the tournament.
Oh, with Ricky Steele. Yeah, you know, it was too bad for him. His opportunity got snuffed away from him. That house was filled with the best guys I think they could have gotten from the tryouts, you know. Ricky definitely had a unique style, which would pose a lot of problems to many of the guys in the house. In terms of my biggest challenge, he'd definitely be a challenge. Everybody in the house was. I don't think there was one easy fight in the house, and that's what we talked about in the house itself too, that there was no easy fight. Even when the Tyler Diamond Delaney fight got announced, everyone was saying how Tyler's going to run through him, and you just can't sleep on anybody. You know, yeah. that was like the number one pick versus the last pick in the house, and even then you can't. Yeah, anything can happen, man. Like anything can happen. You know, it's still a fight at the end of the day, and you know, you're still locked in a cage, you know. It's survival at that point. So
you and Jay Cuccinello said it as well, obviously, when you squared off after Jay had fought for the second time, and you've done the square off in the cage with Dana White, and you both said to each other, I think you said, no one expected you to get there. No one expected it to be like this, and you've shown everyone wrong.
Yeah, Well, Jay's line was just perfect. It was the perfect full promo. It was just a perfect line. It was. You know, Jay was also somebody I really respect in the house. Him, Ricky. There was a lot of guys which you get close with in the house, and I, you know, seeing Jay be successful and having to fight him in the finale was definitely a real honor. It's unfortunate that he doesn't get another fight in the UFC. It's the same thing with Joe. It's unfortunate that he doesn't, like, he got released as well. But, you know, they're going to go on to do big things and hopefully get back in there pretty soon.
Yeah, so, well, we hope so. Jay Cuccinello has actually released it today that he's going into bare-knuckle boxing.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. Man.
For $100,000 prize fund.
Poor guy who needs to stand across from him.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got someone like that, obviously I've spoke to Jay as well a couple of times, and he's one of them guys that doesn't get too much into the hype about himself. He's really humble, and obviously when we've seen it when the yous were in the house, it wasn't just him talking about fighting. He was giving life lessons to people as well. Obviously, I said to him, being a little bit older than some of the other guys, he took on a little bit of a dad figure to everyone. He sort of gave the life advice that a few people that they needed, and being undefeated, well, with all the guys being undefeated, they kind of needed that in a sense. So did you take a lot of info and dad pep talks off of Jay whilst you were there?
You know, anything Jay said, I respect it. It's some guy who's 100% genuine, and he's not putting on a show, and he has a lot of life experience that a lot of us haven't had. You know, he's had some really unique experiences, and you know, he's you gain wisdom with those experiences, not just with age. Like if you're just old but you haven't done much, you know, he's lived, he's yeah. he's he, you know he he's a wise man, you know, and not in some Gandalf sense with a gray beard, but, you know, you know, as somebody you respect, and anything he says, one, you either respect it a lot or it's absolutely hilarious, because it's one of two things, you know, it's either wisdom coming out or, you know, it's just fun times. So, you know, looking back on it, the experience in the house and the people you meet, it's crazy that it all happened in such a short period of time.
So what was the best moment for you in the house? For me, it was the we only seen what was shown on TV. For me, it was the talent show and John Gunther building a boat out of bottles.
Besides winning, you know, the winning was pretty good, but like seeing yeah. John Gunther do anything was to die for. Like that those parts of the talent show they cut out, which, you know, if you guys would have seen it all, it was absolutely hilarious. And even little things. So it was one day when he was eating just Jell-O in his salad, and he was doing like a Dr. Seuss rhyme about it. Dr. Seuss didn't write it. John Gunther just thought it on the spot. And like just little moments like that, it was hilarious. And just between him and Bryce, like there was always entertainment. You know, they were just, they had energy. And you know, they're just genuine people as well. You know, that's the cool part about that season was there was so many unique personalities. You know, nobody, there wasn't really anybody who just fell into the generic fighter role. And you know, this is all I got. Fighting is my life. And no, it's like everybody had a unique personality outside of fighting itself.
And they all had different backgrounds as well.
Exactly. It made being in the house a whole lot more enjoyable.
Yeah, and obviously, like I said, you all come from different backgrounds. Obviously, you got Ricky Steele, who owns his own company. Jake Pinello, who's a former soldier. Joe Giannetti, who's just a fighter, really. And now, obviously, doing other stuff. And then, obviously, yourself, you're an engineer.
Yeah. So well, I think Joe Giannetti is a semi-professional Fortnite player or something now, you know. from following him on Instagram, at least that's all I'm seeing. But yeah, like we're all, you know, we're all from a group of people from all over America. And then there was Suman from Australia. There was Jay from everywhere, but living in Spain, but from the UK, you know, Richie from Ireland, Bryce from Arkansas, you know, like the amount of people, myself from Canada, just the amount of the different personalities, and everybody just had a completely different story. Nobody, no two personalities were really similar, and that's what made it a lot of fun in the house. You know, definitely after that long living together, you know, you either really like the people or you start absolutely hating the people, you know. And really it was such a good experience being in the house. We were laughing most of the time. If we weren't training, we were laughing. So definitely made the time pass quite quickly.
Yeah, I mean, when I spoke to John Gunther, he was like, I took a book in so I could read a book whilst I was there. He said, and I don't even think I took it out of my bag. He said, because when you see on the cameras, he says, the little bits that you see are people when they're on their own and they're looking at pictures or anything like that. You kind of have to make 10 minutes to yourself. I mean, Jay wrote a journal whilst he was in there, and he's now published it on social media and stuff like that. That was his sort of getaway. But yeah, John Gunther said he never even opened his book.
Yeah. For me, I wrote in a journal. I thought it was just such a unique experience that I just wanted to document what my, you know, it's very cool going back and seeing what my mindset was before my first fight, before my second fight, you know, immediately after, what were my thoughts afterwards? And even just in the down days in between a week after my fight, you know, what's going through my head? And just day to day, it was kind of weird. There would be some days where you're like, I don't want to write in this journal. And then you sit down for 2 minutes, write a couple of lines, and all of a sudden, a couple of minutes later, you wrote like 4 pages, you know. And then those other days where you think lots is on your mind and nothing would come out on paper. But it was just like a nice little keepsake, which you can look at and be like, okay, this is what was going through my head during at least to me, one of the more stressful periods of my life. Obviously, yeah. I didn't come from a background being a soldier or anything super hardcore, you know.
And obviously, because you've won the show and stuff like that, if you go further in your career, and obviously you eventually get that UFC title and stuff like that, it'll be put in a museum. It'll be memorabilia. It'll be sold off to auction.
Aim for the Smithsonian.
So, I actually heard in an interview that you did before, after the show, that you weren't sure whether you were going to stay at the weight you were at. Are you still undecided on that, or have you decided that you're going?
Well, I'd like to go down to bantamweight. I competed my entire career pretty well at bantamweight, except for one fight at lightweight on super short notice. So I competed my entire career at bantamweight, and honestly, that's where I think I have the best chance of getting a UFC title. So that's where I'd want to be. Definitely fighting at featherweight isn't out of the question, but pretty well right now. It's, you know, I'm dieting and I'm dropping weight. Bantamweight's the target, and I don't see a reason why I wouldn't be successful at that weight.
But obviously, then you've still got the option of two divisions as well.
Yeah, we'll see what they offer, but pretty well right now, my eye is on that bantamweight title, and then that's why I'm focused, and, you know, I'm just excited to continue along that path and work towards it.
So have you got any, have the UFC offered you anything as of lately? Got any fight news or anything?
As of right now, no exciting fight news. As soon as something gets confirmed, it'll be obvious. You know, it'll be on all my social media. It'll be just pumping out full steam ahead. But right now, it's just, you know, it's kind of nice. It's just focusing on improving every day and you know, just – enjoying life at this point. You know, it's crazy. It feels so much longer than is. I think it's been 2 months since the finale, but it feels so much longer. And you know, at this point, it's body's all healed up, and it's just I've been back to training, pretty well straight after my fight. I've been back to training, so at this point, it's just continue improving, and that's it. You know, I'm chasing that title. So even if I don't have a fight booked, I'm in the gym. You know, this is what I love doing. And I'm just fortunate to be living the dream right now.
It's like you said, it feels like it's been forever. Like I said to my girlfriend before I started the interview, I was like, it feels like ages since I spoke to someone from Tough. Because obviously I spoke to a few of the guys before and we've tried to set it up before. And when I looked at it, I was like, oh, it's not actually been that long. It's only been a month. But like you said, you're back in the gym and everything like that. So you're staying busy. So you don't realize the actual time difference of when it was that you last fought. Whereas
some
guys go 6 months without a fight. So
we'll see. Hopefully I'll have news soon. But at this point, it's just, you know, my job is just to be the best me possible. So every day I'm working with the best team in the world. So it's fun right now because there is no pressure on training, but it's doing what I love. This is what I'd be doing even if I was working, you know. So this is my hobby. This is what I find enjoyment in, and I have big goals, and there's only one way to accomplish those. So
and if you're doing something you love, it's not really classed as work.
No, there's definitely days where it is work, but you know what, for the most part, it's, you know, like I said, so much has changed since I moved here in November that, you know, I'm just like the show, I'm just trying to enjoy the ride.
So I suppose that was a little bit harder for you whilst you were on the show, obviously, because it mustn't have been too long after that you moved to Ireland that you got the call for the show.
Right. You know, it made some things easier. I was already used to being away from friends and family. You know, I moved here with my girlfriend, and being a pro fighter as well, you know, she definitely understood. It's not like, of course you miss each other, but it's not like there's any pressure. I didn't have any family. You know, some people who had, you know, young kids, Rookie Steele, for example, missed his daughter. All stuff like that would make it a little bit more difficult for me. You know, I already had kind of a half step away from friends and family where I'd be Skyping them on the weekend, but
And essentially, went back
it was full week long. It was 6 weeks, not talking to them. You know,
it's kind of a nice break
over a video screen. So you know, it's not quite the same. But it was just, you know, it was just, I'd think about him, I'd write about him in my journal. Like, that's about it. I didn't take any pictures. I didn't want to see things that would remind me of them. I didn't need to draw inspiration from that. Like, I knew they were behind me in my heart. So it's like, I didn't need a constant reminder, a picture to look at, and then all of a sudden start feeling bad for myself, how I'm away from my family. You know, for me, it was just, you know what? I know they're behind me. If I think about them, that's great, but they're not, you know, I don't need a reminder of who's behind me. I know who is, and
you know. And obviously, knowing yourself, like you said, if you know they're behind you already, going and winning the show means so much more. Getting to celebrate it with them instead of feeling
absolutely
you're there and stuff like that, because obviously then that absolutely affects your training, your performance, your mental state just being in the house. And we've seen it before where guys have sort of broken inside and in their head and end up having to leave the show. And
yeah,
it's the best chance ever to get in the UFC, and you don't really want to give that up because you're missing someone.
Exactly. You know what? It was, they knew what I was doing, you know, they knew, you know, they knew that I'm pursuing my dream. So at the end of the day, it's like, there was no pressure and, oh, you know, they're not selfish people. The people behind me, they know fighting is a pretty selfish endeavor. So, you know what? It was just some people want the picture. They draw inspiration from it, allows them to perform better. For me, I didn't want a reminder of the people that I'm not talking to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not able to speak to. You know, not having a phone almost made it easier because you didn't have a choice. There was no reminder. There was no urge because you just couldn't. You know, it's like trying to diet and there'll be a cake on the counter. You know, it takes more willpower. It takes more willpower not to eat that cake now.
And I suppose, like,
if it just wasn't there to begin with.
Like, not having a phone and stuff obviously could be a distraction. I mean, I spend 90% of my day on social media in trying to get into the business that I am. So 6 weeks without it, I can imagine obviously being pestered by people like me for interviews and stuff like that. 6 weeks without it, it's kind of a bit of a breath of fresh air, really.
It's interesting. The fact of that there's no TV, there's no music, there's no stimulus. You know, it's you, the group of people, and the voice in your head. You know, so that's what I found so interesting was, you know, in the downtime, you didn't have something to stare at to distract you. You know, it was, you know, you had to be. It was a lot of self talk. Like, you were just yourself in your head, and needing to. You know, think about what you're doing and everything. You know you're going to be fighting soon, and that pressure is starting to loom, and it's just a matter of how you're able to deal with it, especially in the downtime. That was the hard part. It was the times when you weren't training that were difficult because, and let's say it was your day off training. It was Sunday, and you're not training that day. That's a whole lot of time you got to fill, you know. So there's only so many games of pool you can play. There's only so many times you can go in the hot tub. There's only so much you can do before, you know, you're starting to go insane. So,
yeah, well, we see Bryce Mitchell trying to work out in the back garden.
Pardon?
Bryce Mitchell tried to work out in the back garden. And
well, he made his bow. He made his bow, which actually worked. You know, so some people did stuff like that. For me, I don't know how to make a bow with my pocket knife and a branch off a tree, but, you know, Bryce could, and he made arrows and everything, you know, but just having, like, guys like that, and you can only tell the same story so often, you know. After, you know, the first 2 weeks, you told a lot of your stories that you already know. There's a lot of downtime in that, in the first 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden you have, you know, you're not even halfway there yet. And
yeah,
how
are you
like
you said,
that time? What are you going to talk about? Not much is happening. You know what I mean? Like, you wake up, you have breakfast, you go to the gym, you come back, and that's about it. Like, it just repeats. You know, it sounds glorious, but it's a little bit redundant after a while.
I think that's what makes the show tough. Not obviously you've got the fights as well, but being in that environment where you literally have yourself to talk to after, like you said, after the first 2 weeks, and you've got no contact with the outside world, you've got no TV, you've got no music. So you have to kind of find a way to entertain yourself. And after a while, like you said, there's only so many games of pool you can play. And before you start thinking, oh, I'm a robot just going through the motion and doing the same same thing.
Yeah, you know,
mental state.
Yeah, it does, you know, and it's not like the house is the most conducive to sleep either. It's like, I'm not a napper at the best of times. And, you know, napping in the house in the afternoon would be next to impossible, you know. I think Joe could miraculously fall asleep at any moment he wanted to. And I was extremely jealous of it, but so there's only so much you could do. And sometimes you were just like, man, just wishing the time would count down a little bit and go and just finish. You know, you wanted to be at the last week, it felt like it dragged a little bit because you knew exactly when you were fighting. And I was like, okay, let's just fight and be finished. You know, I'm done with this house. And then it was all over like a blink in the eye, you know. It was just, it happened so quick, but the experience was so memorable that, you know, you remember almost every single day. And especially having journaled during my time in the house, you know, I can look back on it and, you know, a lot of fond memories and a lot of really cool people I got to meet.
Yeah, and obviously, and that's the thing as well, obviously, if you get more people that are in the house as well, you've kind of got friends for life, really. Obviously, you got a lot in common with a lot of the, all the guys, because you're all fighters, and you wish everyone success after the show as well as on the show if they're not in your category, because you want to be the best yourself as well. But even now after the show, like, you still got to support the other guys and talk to each other through social media and potentially be at the same UFC event with each other.
Exactly. Then, you know, the people I met in the house are people I'm going to be seeing around in the future, definitely in the UFC. So, it's kind of lifelong relationships you build. And like I said, after that time, you know, you're either liking the people or you're absolutely hating the people. Unfortunately, I like most of them. So,
it's all right. I'm just going to read a few comments.
Absolutely.
Paul Keith, Pickle Rick, missing you at Strive and wishing you all the best, Brad.
Awesome. Yeah.
Gary McGivney, I was glad I was there to see you win Tough Final live in Vegas. Awesome to meet you.
That's super cool. Thanks, man. It's comments like that, which are just crazy. People excited the fact that they got to like see me fight or hell, even walking around, you know, in Dublin and someone wants a picture. To me, that just blows my mind. Like, you don't understand. Like, I'm more excited than they are about it. They don't seem to realize, you know, with all due respect, you know, it's not like they're that excited to see me, you know. It's just like a mediocre. Meanwhile, I'm super excited to be taking the picture. But, it's just really cool. Like I said, how much that's changed and just the crazy experience that it's been. It's just, I'm just trying to appreciate every little part of it. You know, it's still surreal.
And obviously from going in Canada and then obviously fighting in the States as well and not being there now, like you said, if you're walking down the street in Ireland, people have seen it on TV. So they get to recognize you now. So coming from a different place, I suppose it's a bit more surreal for you. Like you've moved halfway around the world and people were still recognizing you.
Yeah, it's one thing if it's in your hometown, you know what I mean? Like if I was walking around my home city and all of a sudden, you know, I got recognized. Well, you know, it's the hometown guy, you know, and it's he should get recognized at least a little bit. But being the fact that this is, you know, what I'm now calling home and people recognize me, it's a different country. It's crazy. The fans here are monsters. I love it. I absolutely love the support I've gotten.
Yeah, and obviously in Ireland, it's a fighting country. And obviously with Conor McGregor there, and you've got other names and stuff like that. So fitting in there, like you said, and calling it home, I can imagine that you've fit yourself into that circle of names as Irish fighters, so to speak, as quite comfortably.
Yeah, you know, I we'll see if people want to consider me an Irish fighter. I'd be happy to, but like I'm not going to be like I'm the next big thing from Ireland or anything like that. I'm not going to say I'm the next big anything, but you know it's something where you know I want to be, you know, I'm on an Irish team, so I'm happy to be representing SBG Ireland. You know that I'm proud of my Irish teammates. I'm, you know, it's the relationships you build here.
You could do what Artem does when he comes out. Obviously, I think, is it the Bulgaria flag that he carries?
I think it's a Russian flag.
Yeah,
I think. You know, I don't want to say the wrong country. I really don't want to say the wrong country because then my inbox is going to be filled with a bunch of angry Russians. But you know, he's the Russian hammer, so I'm guessing it's the Russian flag.
Yeah. So just do that. Bring out a Canada flag and an Ireland flag. Separate the two.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely. Definitely an option. I'd rather slowly adopt, carrying out. Artem's lived in Ireland almost his entire life. You know, I've lived here 10 months, you know, so to start carrying the flag, I don't know if it would be disrespectful or not. So I just tried to take it slow. You know, I don't want to overstep because, you know, they fought for the freedom, so it's not like they fought for that flag, you know. It's not yeah. something that, you know, I feel I can just, you know, carry around because I want a couple more followers on Instagram, you know. Yeah. It's something that I think you need to deserve, and you know, if there comes a time when I can carry it out, all fantastic, but, you know, I want it
to be real.
I don't want to overstep.
Yeah. And obviously, you don't know where life takes you, so you could end up in a different country in a couple of years.
I'm not leaving this gym. You know, it's the best gym in the world. So I love the country. So it's not like I'm at SBG for a couple months and I'm gonna disappear. You know, it's, you know, this is where I think I can be world champion, and it's the best gym in the world. It's the best team behind me. So that there's no reason to leave.
Yeah, just on that, Nicole Britticher, I think I said that right. I hope I said that right. So proud of you, Brad. I love following you. Well deserved.
Ah, thank you. Thank you.
So we'll see if there's any more. Yeah, so, all right, I'm going to let you go and enjoy the rest of your night.
Thanks a lot.
I appreciate your time. I'm glad we finally got it done. And
yes.
Hopefully when you get some fight news, we can do it again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and thanks guys for all the support. It really means a lot.
Good stuff. If you got any shout outs or anything you want to do, then fire away.
I got nothing much, but if you're not already following me on any of my social media platforms, it's at Brad Katona for everything. Twitter, Instagram, that's where I do most of my stuff on Instagram. That's my favorite platform, but you know what, if it interests you, I'd be happy for a follow. But besides that, just, you know, thanks for all the support and thanks for the time.
Good stuff. Again, I appreciate you taking the time out, and I look forward to watching you again in the UFC.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Have a good one.
And you.
Yes.